Welcome everyone to the Friends That Carry On podcast, where we dive deeper into our trips, unpack tips, and everything in between. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to go on a trip with your favourite group of friends.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Friends That Carry On. I am Tony, and today we have Eric, Brian, and Jim Scott. Welcome, guys.
Hey, hello, everybody.
Ciao.
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
Pretty darn good today.
Yep. Pretty darn good. I like it.
It's Friday.
It is Friday. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's going to be Thursday when this comes out.
Oh, my
it's
bad.
It's Friday for you.
Sorry. Friday. A little bit of live action there, people.
Quite all right. So today we're going to do something unique.
Right.
Yeah. Unique. So we all talk about how much we love to travel and visit every place, right? And we've also talked about possibly staying longer abroad. So we thought it was nice to talk about potentially owning or renting something across the pond or even locally, I guess, but more of a second place to live, to share. I mean, maybe not own individually because, you know, we all don't have the means to have multiple homes, but we could share it or look into renting or looking for a place that maybe want to spend half the year or retire to. And we've all heard these buy a place for a dollar, right?
Yeah.
There's kinds of crazy things that are out there. So we thought we should just explore what goes into thinking about living abroad, whether it's now or later.
So being stuck here for 3 months without being able to go outside of your own town probably
has a little bit to do with
it. Maybe thinking about, goodness gracious, I want to get out of here for good.
Exactly. And seeing how some of us are reacting to various things make me want to get the heck away too. So.
Right. Yeah, just make sure you go to a place where those things may not happen.
Oh, they're all going to happen, but at least it's a different set of stuff, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we typically, you know, in our newer format, we've been kind of going through and we talk about a place to go. We've been talking about, okay, well, how do you decide where to live or where to stay if we're on a trip?
What to eat.
Yeah, then
where to eat.
Where to eat is usually a segment. And then also talking about things to do. So
right,
all of those things are considered or should be considerations when you're going to move somewhere too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
We should think about that. So the whole premise of the show, I guess, is then to kind of talk about what are all the things we have to think about to even consider this, or what should we think about before we decide a location. So everybody's had their homework, right?
Yeah.
We've done the homework.
Mainly it's cost.
Well, that's one thing.
For me.
Some people. Yeah.
Some people might not have that issue. I do.
Yeah, see, I would disagree. I don't know about mainly. That's a factor for
sure.
Unfortunately,
it's going to determine where I go. So.
Well, I don't know. There's places you could probably live for free in Antarctica, but I'm not sure you want to go there.
Right. Give and take.
You give and they take. Well, a couple of the lists, because there's all kinds of lists that are out there. You know, what's the one big one Jim Reed always talks about? The annual Global Retirement Index they publish all the time that kind of weights all the different things or four main factors.
Yeah.
You know, how easy it is to get a visa, you know, housing costs, you know, weather.
Ease,
you know,
of
that
buying
types
property.
Of yeah.
Healthy living.
So it varies. You know, they value that. But there's all kinds of lists. And Eric, you're talking about cheap. I found a really, really cheap place. Minsk, Belarus. They don't recommend you go, though. So just saying. So it's not all just about cost.
Did they say why they recommend?
You may not
you
make
don't
it
go.
Out, but that's okay.
Oh, really?
Well, if you're retiring there, does it matter?
Once again, it's give or take.
Sounds like a good central location, though, in Europe,
is.
Anyway.
It is.
But the Global Retirement Index is put out by Travel and Leisure, International Living, I'm sorry. And they put it out first of the year. So just real quickly, their top 10, if we want to just hit some general areas and then we can go down where we want. Number 10 was Vietnam, which, I mean, we've been there recently, and there's a lot of good things there.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 is France, and I know everybody here at the table loves France.
Absolutely.
Number 8 is Spain, which we've been throughout Spain, and there's not much to dislike about that. Number 7 is Malaysia, which I can't say I've been there, but I've heard good things. Number Six is Ecuador, which, and we'll probably mention them later, but we met a couple, Keith and Tina Paul, who run Retire Early and Travel the World .com website. And they actually retired early from and lived in California and moved to, I always say this wrong, but Cuenca? Is that how you say it? Ecuador?
I think it's Cuenca.
Cuenca, Ecuador, and it was like an 80% less cost of living than when they lived in California. So they're actually living what their website is, and then they still travel the world and all that. So, and we'll probably mention them again later. number five is Colombia. I guess they've gotten the cartels under control there. I'm not sure. Number four is Mexico, which I would say the same thing. And then number three is Costa Rica, which I know Eric likes Costa Rica, has been there a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Panama, which I've heard a lot of great things about Panama, so I understand why they're pretty much at the top there. I think they were number one last year. And then number one, which we just spoke about last week, is Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So,
is there a date on that list? Like, what date did that come out?
January of this year.
January of this year. Okay.
And I think that's Portugal's either fourth or fifth year in a row at the top of that list.
Yeah.
So did I hear Italy? Panama.
You did not hear Italy.
On the top 10
for Italy.
Well, again, you got to think about the how they're categorizing. So it's a summary of all of those things. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So. So, I mean, obviously, we can talk about any of them if you want. Let's see if I can find out what all makes up that index. I know Tony already hit some
of
that.
It's four main categories, Jim, are cost of living, healthcare, visa, and residence.
Gotcha.
And they changed them around a little bit. It used to be when they would talk about kind of like wealth, the weather type of, you know, kind of residence situation. It used to be always warm. Well, then they were like, well, not everybody wants to necessarily live where it's beachy in summer.
Right.
So now they give weighted factors more to, is there a variety? You know, like if you get into Italy, of course, it has a variety. And a lot of those places that we see on that list, you can have mountain stays, you can have on the beach. There's so many things you can choose from. So that's the four main categories.
Yep. Yeah, I have from International Living's annual Global Retirement Index, they
We were just talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, so they what I see here is there's a number of other things that they had factored in as well.
Yeah.
So as far as, you know, visa and residency requirements and, you know, fitting in and how easy it is to make friends, those are factored in. Climate, development and infrastructure, political situation, you know, several other things that they have included here. So I'm not sure if they were in the same, if it was the same.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Yeah. Yep. So
those are kind of the four big things. And then they have those little pieces that kind of go within it. But they kind of look at the all-inclusive things. Because you can look at cheapest place to stay and you'll get a little different list.
Right.
You could stay in Minsk, but,
It may not be as comfortable as you'd like.
Right. But I suppose before you decide to retire somewhere or take up a long-term residence, you probably want to look at more than just those four things.
Yeah.
And you know, lots of things to consider.
Exactly. Well, Brian, we were talking about this a little while ago. I mean, one of the main reasons we also kind of started about this was, I don't know if it was you that brought it up, that we found reading an article about the dollar homes you could purchase.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had read an article, and we've seen it over the years, you know, here and there. And I was just out for a run one morning, and it just started going through my head about, well, you know, we've got a large group of friends, you know, people we get along with really well. You know, what would it be like, or what, you know, if we wanted to, like you said, either rent or maybe even do this, you know, potentially buy a place somewhere and renovate it. And so, you know, one of the places I had seen this article, this was specific to three of the towns in Italy, one of them on the island of Sicily. And, you know, they were selling homes for a dollar, and there's all sorts of caveats, but you can go and you can take a tour, pay for a tour, and it's a refundable amount that you pay, but you get to do a tour through the town, through the caverns, through the meat markets and the vineyards, and just kind of see what the area is like and visit the homes that the town actually owns. So, there are others for sale, but the town actually owns them, and it's supposedly easy to make the transaction happen
right.
with a deposit, and then you're basically committed to renovating within a 3-year period, and they give you average cost of renovation per square foot and all sorts of things to consider. And but location, you want to consider location and how you get there, and how much you're going to have to invest in the property, all sorts of things to think about. I thought that was a really interesting way to maybe think about retirement, especially if you had a group of friends and maybe you did a few of these homes, mm-hmm. maybe search them out, research them, and over the course of a couple of years or so, maybe take some trips and visit them and check them out. I think that would be a lot of fun and a good experience.
Yeah, look, I was saying, you'd also in Spain, they're selling entire villages.
Hmm. They built entire villages that no one ever lived in.
Yeah, I saw one that was in the northwestern part, getting close to Portugal. That the houses themselves in those general areas sell for they're expensive. They're on the coast. I mean, they're pretty. They're like $200,000, but you could buy an entire village for $200,000. Mm-hmm. And that village may have like 6 or 8 houses in it already, but it's because the houses are done and they're already in a place, but the villages are kind of removed from that area. They're kind of all on their own. Mm. And the guys are like, look, nobody's going to buy the house by itself. So they're not going to move there by themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're selling the entire village. The guy had sold like 4 villages over the last 5 years.
Mm.
I was like, how do you get that real estate license?
Right. I'm a village salesperson.
I got an idea.
Was he selling to individuals or families?
Yeah, with the concept of, I perused that article. I didn't read it thoroughly, but the two of them that he had sold to were families, kind of like parents that had a couple kids. They end up buying and renovating the whole village, and they end up like a brother and a sister, and a couple of them lived in 2 or 3 of the houses, and the kids came over and stayed in the other houses when they came, and that was it. And they were like 20 minutes from one of the more towns or villages.
So are these then older, kind of rundown, need some work?
Well, they weren't really completely terrible. I mean, not like some of the houses that we were talking about for a buck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen and read, and each town's a little different as to what the requirements are. Some will let you be an investor and do as long as you, within 3 years, rehab it to a certain degree that they tell you about. Others require you to be a family and have a kid,
mm-hmm.
or be a couple and live there for so many years. But a lot of it, the emphasis is on having kids because they're an elderly population that has matured out, so to speak,
right? Yeah.
And they need the younger people in there. So it just depends. But I think the villages, I don't necessarily know that they had that requirement, but they seemed they were a little more remote. The houses didn't seem too bad, but there was nothing around.
Nothing.
Which, if you love the quiet, clean country living, you're in the right spot. But if you want to, go 20 minutes or whatever to even a decent city to grocery stores and some basic living, you might just need to plant your garden and be good to go.
one of the towns I saw, they were actually paying people mm-hmm. about $28,000 to $30,000, but you had to commit to setting up a business, to actually running a business. That was mm-hmm. one that I had seen as well. Did you see that too?
Yeah, there's
Tony?
Several of them. And there was another one that was $9,000, but you had to move there and live, permanently for 3 years or something. I think they all have their own little mixture, at least in Italy. And I mean, I went and did a pretty detailed search on this, and there's 5 towns. And when I say towns, these are villages. They're not considered cities.
Right.
So 5 villages on the island of Sicily,
mm-hmm.
2 in Sardinia. And then on the mainland, there's 2 in northern Italy, 2 in I'd say central Italy, and then 3 more in southern Italy. Mm. And then the first city that came online now is Toronto. Taranto. That's way down.
That's way down.
Where you were.
I was. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing it on signs, and maybe even went through it at one point.
And that's interesting. So that's the first true city, and it is more of a port, blue collar city. That because of the industrial age kind of changing, they're seeing a downturn, and they were like, "Hey, some of these remote villages are having success doing this. oh, why don't we try it? And they're doing the same thing.
I think I'd seen that one,
I think
too.
It's a main train station
stop. Yeah, so you're still got to, you know, that'd be a great, if you want more of a city lifestyle, right, more than like a quaint village lifestyle, you could go there and still be a train stop away from, you know, pretty much any place mm-hmm. in Italy. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so many factors to kind of decipher, or go through there to decide, you know, do you want to live on an island that's more secluded or downtown? And then, you know, taxes and cost of building and, you know, density of population and all sorts of things to research.
Well, let's talk about those things as far as like what is important to everybody. But let's talk about real quick a couple of other locations that mm-hmm. we've, because it started about talking about Europe and Italy and mm-hmm. There's some other ones out there. Jim, I know you did some other search. What did you find?
Well, one that I found interesting, be a unique place. This was in Switzerland. It's Monte Siaga.
Yeah, and in the Alps, right?
It's in the Alps. It's an Italian-speaking village on the Swiss border. And it kind of got isolated in the 1970s. But but the village is still intact. And you know, it's not great houses, but they are there and it can be renovated. But the location's actually pretty cool. It's just a stone's throw from Lake Maggiore. I'm not sure if I'm saying right, either Maggiore or Maggiore. Mm-hmm. It's two G's in there, which is a beautiful lake. It's 40 miles from Lake Como, which is another beautiful lake. Mm-hmm. And it's only 70 miles from Milan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, it's not as remote as some of these other places that have been listed there.
In the mountainous area.
In the mountains, you know, in the Swiss-Italian Alps. So it's pretty cool. And what they were doing, it started as a dollar bid to revitalize the community, but then you had to get approval from the town council for whatever it was you're going to do. And I tried to get a follow-up article. This was from July of 2019 and said the council would approve or whatever in the autumn. And I don't know if it's because of COVID or not, but there's just no articles on it since then, so I'm not sure what happened with it. So, but it's the pictures are just beautiful. And like I said, some of the houses are, they don't really look run down. They're just stone houses that
simple.
Yeah. Very simple. So that was pretty cool. And then, they actually had Tokyo also mm-hmm. in Japan, which is, I ran the same thing. The articles are from 2019 and I don't know if it's the COVID that's, you know, so I didn't get updates. I don't want to say it's absolutely still going on. But they have a lot of abandoned houses there, too. But these things are truly dumps.
Are they actually single-family homes, do you think, in Tokyo? Or were these apartments?
They're supposedly homes. And it's the same problem. They have people, elderly population that's aging out. And then these things go abandoned and just get run down.
It's like a rundown neighborhood.
Neighborhood. But they kind of become shells and, you know, people pile stuff up, just junk. It doesn't mean they can't be cleaned up pretty easily. Now, they had some out in the countryside, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting, but I don't know what the follow-up is because the articles are about 6-8 months old. But like I said, with COVID, you know, why would you be writing an article on it when you can't travel, you can't go there, you can't do any of the stuff? So I'm not sure.
My hunch is... I don't think anybody has went out and bought them all up in the last 4 months. So they're probably still there. There's just nobody talking about it right now.
Absolutely.
Something else that was on that list, though, was some of the American cities that I mm-hmm. saw.
Yeah.
So, because we were talking about, you know, this dollar purchase or giveaways.
Right.
Basically. We had Detroit, mm-hmm. which
I saw that
big surprise. And Buffalo.
I saw mm-hmm. Buffalo
saw
as well.
Buffalo in there. Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. Mm. That's a hub.
Who can honestly say I haven't been to Gary.
I've been through.
I've heard of it.
Jackson 5's from there.
There you go.
That may be why I've heard of it.
And then, of course, I was surprised to see Liverpool on a list.
Liverpool was on it. That was interesting. Toronto was on it.
I would think that in each of these cities or locations, they have certain sections that they would, you know, like to revitalize. So I imagine they're targeted areas where they're trying to bring, you know, good quality numbers of investors mm-hmm. in to kind of build them out.
Chicago was on the list too, but wow.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember seeing that picture that they showed. Yeah.
Of what was available in Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah. They would have to pay me the buck.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Now, there one other interesting one that I found that not non-U.S. was in Australia, Alget, Australia. So it was a kind of a remote city. It's about 4 hours from Sydney. But they've had a lot of success. They've been doing it for about 10 years, and they've actually gotten some revitalization out of it. So it's been a successful program there.
You're talking about the dollar thing or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, all of these were dollar, like kind of the euro purchase, you know, with some caveat of either you had to, you know, fix it up within a certain time frame or, you know, they all had their own little nuances to them. But
right now,
it's just an interesting concept that, you know, it's a different model.
And
right?
these they're going to morph and modify and change because it's the first time you've ever really seen anything like that, right? You ever seen anything like that in the past?
Right. Now, in some of these, they're an auction that started a dollar, mm-hmm. so you don't always get it for a dollar, but you still get it pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw, too, where a lot of people, because, you know, some people are buying them on site or, you know, unseen, right? But, you know, when a lot of people, when they go over it with the intent of doing that, they end up buying something else instead because maybe they just didn't like the one they had or finding a product. Because some of the places, which we'll talk about a little later, is... Well, there were several of them in some of those villages that were only $20,000, and it was already done.
Right.
So it's like, do you spend a euro and you have to go through that whole process, mm-hmm. or just go ahead and buy one that's basically done for 20,
right,
and be done with it? So right. There was a lot of people I saw that were reading some of those articles, which was interesting.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, I know, and maybe, Brian, you're going to talk about this, that at least on some of the Italian cities, you can book a tour, and there's a charge, but if you don't end up buying the house, you get your money back. It's like $450 charge or something.
That was one of the programs I saw, which I thought was a pretty cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should do it no matter what, even if we don't buy one.
At least the research, anyway.
That's what I'm talking about. I think we could do the research, maybe pin down two, three, four locations that we think might be fun, good prospects, and take a trip and go visit and document and do some research and have a little bit of fun at the same time. And,
absolutely.
And then maybe something comes out of it, or maybe we find out that, you know,
the fine print is not going to work,
or maybe we find out something different.
Yeah. Well, leading into that, then why don't we talk about what is considerations? I mean, what do you guys find would be important to you for having a place that you're going to spend more than 3 months out of a year, whether it's next year or, you know, 10 years from now or whatever. What are the things to consider? I mean, since we've all traveled a decent amount, we kind of know what's out there, but it's obviously a big difference staying someplace for 2-3 days or even a week versus, you know, a good part of your year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of quite a few.
Okay. What's important then?
Things. So I would, climate, for sure.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a consideration.
What do you consider a good thing? Because you just said climate.
Yeah, everybody's different.
No,
they want to ski.
And right. So that was more broad for everybody. I think everybody's going to be interested in what the climate is. For me personally, I like the seasons. I like the cold. I like to ski. So, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to have a ski slope, but just something maybe within driving distance, a few hours away or something, would be nice. Not the end all.
And that's why I love Europe.
So far, you want to retire right here.
You know, this is a nice area, too. So, a combination of all sorts of things, you know, access to, you know, something within an hour or so that would be somewhat of a larger city environment, I think, would be important.
So you don't want to live in a city?
Well, I might. Okay. You know, I could, you know, at retirement.
Depends on the city, yeah.
Well, Paris is certainly a great city. I could see retirement there. You know, there are other cities. Chicago, I was surprised when I was, at least the section of Chicago that I was in, along the lakes. It was beautiful. I think that it could be either one of those. That's why I think the whole exploration process could be a lot of fun, you know, because you never really know, for me anyway, until I set foot somewhere.
Go and experience.
Have a chance to experience the culture, the people, the town, what's there, and get a feel for it. I think that's really important. But I could, What about you guys? What would be on the top of you, your list, Jim?
Well, I approach it a little bit differently. I want to keep traveling, so I don't want to be stuck in one place. Hey, I moved to Paris or I moved to Barcelona or wherever and feel like, okay, now I'm here. So and in the fall, I love where we live now in Shepherdstown. So in an ideal world, I'd keep a home here. This is an ideal world. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. So during the fall, football, great climate, everything's, that's my favorite time of year. So right here, but I'd keep a home base here. And then depending on the time of year and climate, so wintertime, maybe it's a warmer or temperate place. That could be, you know, Spain or somewhere like that, or maybe it's to the south of the equator or Central America, like Panama or something like that. And then in the spring, so like a couple months there, and then but from there be able to travel out to the other areas, that geographical region, so you get a flavor of it and learn what you like and don't like. And then eventually the right place is going to come to me that I want to be there all the time. Or I get old and decrepit and just have to be in a nursing home.
Just don't care at that point, right?
Right. But in one of those legs, I'd like to land somewhere in Europe. Portugal, obviously, is top of the list as far as the ratings. Spain's up there. France is up there. So that whole region, you land there somewhere, maybe take a couple, 3 months that you're there. But during that couple, 3 months, because it's so easy to move around Europe, you hit a lot of spots for a week here, a week there, and maybe you find that spot that you weren't expecting that's, you know, is ideal, and that's where you end up. So I like to do some more exploring, but do it in a way that I'm kind of hopping and living different places around over the course of the year. And if two things on that, if we ended up going out exploring this and buying places that are around, well, then we can go to some of our places there that are around the world, or you rent, and rent's fairly cheap in a lot of these places, so it allows you not to be, or in my case, stuck in one place and rent for a few 3 months and move on to wherever.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's my initial thought.
I certainly like the idea of having, you know, three or four different places, you know, during different times of the year, rather than just, you know, the way Tony had posed the question earlier, it was like, okay, where would you want to retire? And so a variety, I like that as an approach as well.
What about you, Eric?
I kind of take Jim's approach in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, not much different really, Jim. I'd like to be on the outskirts of a city too and be able to get to the city. But also, there's a side of me that wouldn't mind living somewhere in a hill in Italy and just owning a little Vespa and getting around that little, you know, and just take it to the train station, take the train wherever it take, you know, I could go.
Yeah, that's an option.
So, and of course, cost is an issue. Food is an issue. I like food, so I want good food, or maybe even be able to grow some of my own food. I do that now. You know, why not be able to do that where I'm going to spend, you know, 6 months, 3 months, whatever. Right. So I don't know. I haven't nailed it down yet exactly.
Yeah. Well, you're not ready to retire yet.
No,
so.
I'm
this
really
isn't
not
just about retirement. He may do it next year.
Yeah.
It's like we were talking about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, there's that concept with the guys you were talking about earlier. Retire early, because when you realize some of the costs, it may be, you know, make sense to go ahead and retire now and go. Or you may end up splitting it with somebody, and if you can work remotely.
Right.
You know, here's the thing about me. I'm not planners like you guys.
I am not a planner. Once a bit.
So I love the discovery. Sometimes I don't even want to hear what you're saying about a place, because I like to discover it when I'm there. I'm sorry. Is that selfish? I don't know. Maybe it is.
No, it's not selfish. It's just you.
It's just me. Yeah, so that's, I kind of like to just discover that I'm there. So I'm kind of like Jim. I want to go explore and maybe find that place. Holy cow, I didn't know it was here.
Well,
and
I totally agree with
I
that.
I really like this.
But you got to think about this. Even under Jim's concept, he's going to pick a place, whether there's one in South America, one in Asia, one in Europe. You still got to pick some place. So what is important about that place? I mean, so availability to transportation sounds like an important one if you want to continue to travel. So you need to be close to a train station or have a realistic airport. Drive, you know, that you can get to an airport to get around, that type of thing. So you do care, right? It's one of those things. That's an important part if you want to continue to travel. And for me, climate is important. If I'm going to spend a certain amount of a place, and unlike you, I don't want seasons. I don't care if I see another snowflake unless I am going to go ski. I don't ever want to see it unless I can see it from abroad. Like if I'm looking at the base of the Alps, beautiful. Yep. That's spectacular to look at. Drive through, walk through, 20 degree weather, done, over. Could care less. So that's me. And then the other important things to me is a communicable atmosphere. Like when you think about the cafe lifestyle in Paris or hanging out in you know, Lisbon, you know, just street culture where you can go out, you know, you can have a good meal with good food that's not overpriced, but just good food that you know is taken care of. It's, you know, not the crap that you're getting at some places, but just, you know, real food, you know, just a good atmosphere. So if I'm going to stay there, and even though I may be traveling out, that's the kind of thing that I want. I want a good sense of community and be able to go and have a cafe with a friend or do whatever. And
maybe even farm to table type food. You tend to get that in Europe a little bit more than you do
here.
That's
one of the reasons I like Europe is there's the more.
But it's happening here. And I have a feeling this pandemic is going to cause it to go farm to table, right. Even get a little more of a grasp on the market.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Tony. I mean, those are all important. And that's what it was a little bit of a turnoff in looking at some of those remote villages.
Right.
So I don't want to be out there. I have no desire to be out there, even if it's cheap as whatever, because I want to be able to get the stuff. I want to be able to socialize in different atmospheres and have, maybe not every day, but have a accessibility to that, to go into the cafe or to your local bar and meeting the locals and get that local culture.
Right.
But, you know, being able to go to the grocery store and that too, it's just support the local market over there. So, no, that's important. Yeah.
There's also that side of me that I like that alone time sometimes. You know what I mean? Where is that? It could be a beach. It could be a mountain. It could be anywhere. It really depends on where you are. But that's important, you know, to have nice space, whether it be green space or beach space or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and the idea of some of these dollar homes that are out, you know, in a remote village somewhere, I would kind of see that more as a, you know, maybe go there and spend 2 or 3 weeks a couple times a year, not as the place where you would actually, you know, set up roots and retire. Maybe, but probably not. I mean, it could just be a really inexpensive way to have a kind of a cool place that you could share with friends and family and spend some time there and, you know, could be a good investment. And if you did that in a few different places, it might give you access to, you know, if you have the right location with some of these things, they might be close enough to cities or trains and things of that sort, where you can kind of set up a home base and get to different areas. So I think that's the possibility for that. The snow, yeah, I don't want the snow year-round, Tony. I enjoy a nice snowfall and a nice warm fire and hanging out maybe for, you know, maybe for 1 month out of the year, if that. Maybe 3 weeks out of the year
where you can go and visit,
you know. And then I can be done with the snow, and we can get back to, you know, the spring, fall type weather. I don't want the, you know, the 100-plus degree weather. That's not something I'd enjoy.
Yeah, so really hot. Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah,
hot or humid, right?
Yeah.
Cost of living, you know, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I think everybody looks for is what's that good blend of being able to live comfortably or extravagant, whatever your preference is, and what does that cost related to your other options?
Mm-hmm. And what's the value?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a value-based thing.
Yeah. Things to do, too, like Costa Rica, for instance. You know, you're an adventurer's paradise. You know what I mean? As far as zip lining and...
Yeah, real quick before you talk on that one. So we were just talking about kind of like in the order of our normal stuff of, you know, places to stay, why you stay there. So we were just talking about, you know, kind of close to transportation, climate, you know, the type of atmosphere and things like that. So that's a kind of important that we need to consider about choosing a location or multiple locations, but choosing a location. And then normally we'd talk about then when we're going on a trip, you know, things to do and places to see. So, Eric, sorry to interrupt you there, but then that's one of the things you were talking about with Costa Rica, why it's kind of high on your list because of things to do. And
well, number one, I've been there, and it was when I first started traveling. So I'm like, wow, you could retire here. And you realize outside of the U.S., things are a little bit less expensive, you know, and you realize, well, I'd like to come back. And I went back a second time, and I'm like, I could definitely retire here. And at that point, this was the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was very affordable and not what I call westernized yet. But after that, the Europeans and Americans started investing heavily in that area of the world, and it's become not as cost effective as it used to be, but it's still very cost effective. The cost of living in Panama too.
What kinds of things though did you like to do there?
Well, I was hanging out with surfers, so it was a different time in my life, and I was photographing and hanging out with them, and it was just a day-to-day kind of thing. We didn't have a plan. You know, they had a plan in their mind. I was just kind of following them along and experiencing another part of the world that I'd never been to.
Pura vida.
Pura vida, exactly. So I fell in love with the place because you do have a really sense of freedom there. Not that you don't hear. I don't mean that. But it was just different. And you don't realize, you know, you see the Corona commercials all your life, and you don't realize that they do exist until you get there. And then you realize that they're attainable. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah, and I don't want to get on a selling point for Costa Rica, but I didn't know much about it. You know, you've talked about it, and I hate to say this, but Norman Reedus, you know, from Walking Dead.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he has a show. I don't watch Walking Dead. I did it earlier, but I don't watch it now. But he does a show called Ride. So he's a motorcycle rider in real life, even though he rides one on the show. But so what he does is they do about 6 episodes that starts before they do the filming. And they go on bike adventures, and he goes with a friend, and he picks random places across the globe because he loves to travel. He's traveled since he was a kid. And one of the episodes this year was Costa, and he took a friend. It's one of the actors from.
Do you remember exactly where?
Oh, he was all over.
Oh, he was all over the country,
which was awesome. And he just kind of showed it, and that's where I picked up the Pura Vida because it was, you know, pure life.
Mm-hmm.
And
they do live that way.
It is interesting.
They really do live that way.
You know, just. One of the interesting facts about the whole place, and again, I don't want to get the selling point of it, but you know, they don't have an army. They abandon the money spent for that, and it all goes back into infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So for education and just different things. So it's just something they don't pay attention to. I mean, to be honest, at the size of that country, I mean, really, what is a military probably going to do for them anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So
right,
but definitely an interesting lifestyle. You know, inexpensive and. Wow, I mean, you're talking about fresh food and just the outdoor lifestyle.
If
that
you
is
were
very much how they
like
live.
A, I guess a good. If you were a purist, I guess is mm-hmm. that a good. You could yeah. you could really survive there really well.
Yeah. But things to do, right? So that's
things
important
to do. It's important. Plus, they have good health care.
Yeah.
And a good banking system. Yeah, a stable and political. Situation.
Very
so,
stable democracy, yeah.
Yeah, so all those things are important when you're going places and you want to actually live there or retire there. So they say roughly, they're not extravagant, $2,000 a month for all your living expenses will get you an average lifestyle.
Which is an interesting point because when I was in Costa Rica, I feel it kind of bled into Panama, which is why Panama's on the list now. I really think Costa Rica opened up Central America. So I don't mean to go to a selling point, but, you know, now you say Panama, and, you know, it's right next door, right? Right.
Panama, I think, really makes that list because of their retiree program that they put in place.
Yep.
That really makes it expensive or inexpensive if you're truly a retiree. I think it's like 55 for a woman and 60 for a guy, and then you get all kinds of crazy benefits.
You pay zero income tax. Yeah.
And a 25% discount off, like, flights and just random things like that. So it's... It becomes really, really inexpensive if you're retired.
Right. So. And they got some of the same things as far as good health care and stable political.
I wonder how they define retired.
Who's
does that
they?
Mean you're – well, if
– Non-earned income. I mean, that's basically what it is.
You talk about the government of where you're going or
– Well, in Panama, they retire – it's by age. That's just the 55 and 60 years old. Right. After that, it doesn't matter. You don't pay income taxes there on anything –
Earned in another country.
So if you have earned income from the United States, you live in Panama, you don't pay income tax on it. So.
Now, in some cases, in Panama and others, they'll make you prove you have a an income of X dollars to get residency or I think that's what it is.
Italy does the same thing for their visas and things. Yeah.
But what was interesting, Jim, I noticed on that index that we've been talking about, that top 10, every place on there, we know is either we've been to or we've heard great things about, and every one of them is inexpensive.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things. I mean, every one of those, even in some of the major cities, you can live a high-end, comfortable lifestyle for like $2,000 a month. Yeah, and a lot of them, $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
And that's including your rent or ownership of a house, which is...
That's big.
That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, France was on there, but it excluded Lyon and Paris, which...
Right.
I was like $2,500. You'd like you get a studio apartment up six flights in downtown Paris. But again, there's so many other places in France you could live. But that was what's really cool. It's just nice to know that there is 10 locations, and when I say locations, it included France. I mean, that's how many places to live in France. If you look at this list of 10 locations, it is so broad, and to know that you can go to so many locations and live for less than $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And a lot of these were healthcare, and you know, and if you are getting older, I mean, some of these healthcare things were crazy. Like, Jim, you were talking about Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
The story, the one guy was writing about, he's like, I moved here and I'd had a checkup in forever, and there it's different. Your general practitioner is in the hospital and you went in. No appointment, sat down. He went through. They did like a full EKG and did all this stuff. His lab test and everything was like $48.
Right. That's crazy.
He walked out. It's like they called him like later that afternoon with his test results. He's like, what? And it's just crazy, you know? So that's definitely a consideration when you're thinking about living someplace
for
else.
For sure, yeah.
You know, as healthcare can be an expensive thing in the U.S. It's climbing.
Well, yeah.
It used to be an annual index. Now I think it's like, what are they charging me this week?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, being political, most countries aren't as many lawsuits and so forth that we have here, which raises our cost extraordinarily. So, anyhow, I don't want to get into that.
No, we shouldn't. So, more things to do.
Yeah, so things to do. What is important to you guys as far as you said, Brian, you mentioned skiing.
I don't know that that's at the top of the list. I like a variety of things. So when it comes to things to do, I'd like to have access to, you know, I like to play golf. I like the beach. I like the cafe lifestyle you were talking about. Movies, theater, you know, running, hiking, those different types of things. So I'd be looking for something that has a good variety of those things in the places where maybe I'm going to spend some of my retirement years.
I think access to water. Sorry. Whether it be ocean.
Sure. Yeah. River.
Yeah. Lakes. I'm reading a book right now called Blue Mind, and it just talks about how therapeutic water is, and we don't even really realize it. You know,
there's a reason people like to live around water.
Yeah, and yeah, go to it and use it for solace and, you know, things like that. So water is important to me. Yeah.
And if you listen to Ghost Adventures, it's where all the spirits lie.
There you go. Okay.
And water is, what, 80% of the earth? 80% of our bodies?
That's a tough statement.
So that would depend on whether or not the ghosts, you know, take away the calmness of the water for you, you know. Or do you enjoy the ghosts or not?
Right. I've never encountered a ghost in water. Sorry.
Jim, what about you as far as
things to do?
I kind of just like going with the flow of the city. So I want a good atmosphere. I want places that I can go and feel comfortable. Obviously, that includes good food and that type of stuff. But when I picture retirement or staying in a place for a couple months at a time, is find that local eatery or that local little pub that you go in a couple times a week and you know a few of the people and you're able to sit around and chat for an hour or two and just really chill out. But then on other days, be able to travel to, you know, in or across to a city. Maybe it's an hour train ride or something and go to a museum or go to the beach like you talk about or whatever. So it's having access to it, maybe not every single day, but being close enough to have that, but that just knowing the locals and all and having access to that's important to me.
Wow, how far we've come to talk about retirement. You know, well, I mean, my dad retired, what, 20-some years ago, and they retired to Florida. But then he's outlived his retirement and his wife, and now he's back home. You know what I mean? It's kind of full circle. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
He's raising you again.
Yeah, right?
He's probably complaining
poor
about
guy.
That second time.
Poor guy.
This is the second time like, I've had to bring you up.
But, I, you know, for me, things to do, kind of the same, you know, and that same note, having a place to go, you know, during the week to hang out. And I think that leads to that vibe of a town where, and I don't know if it necessarily has to be a scholastic town, but, mm-hmm. you know, we know here that if you have a small university or a college town, the vibrancy of the town tends to be, you don't have to worry about it aging out, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's one of the things, and that's one of the big movements you're seeing in college campuses across our country is older people are starting to move towards that, and there's, you know, development happening around there. I mean, we've got one being built right down the street from us here. You know, it's more of a retirement village, but it's because they want to be close to theater. They want to be close to good restaurants and things like that, and you have that tendency to have that vibrancy, and, mm-hmm. you know, so...
Very true.
I'm not saying it has to be a scholastic town, but I think looking for that vibrancy that you can get and not having to worry about, you know, it being old. Because yeah, when you get older, you don't want to feel old, right? At least I assume so.
Absolutely.
I'm fighting it every day. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we're there yet, but I mean, we're just thinking, obviously, long term here.
Right.
This is, but I'm like, I know we've talked about it many times with our group is, you know, why wait? For retirement, you know, why not kickstart some stuff now? Which is why we're talking about this because we may do this, you know, hell next year.
That's why
we'll retire later, but we'll be that far ahead of.
That's why I said how times have changed. You know, my dad had to retire to do that. We can actually kind of do that now. Things have come so far because of travel and access and things like that. It's really changed.
Yeah.
Technology's changed a lot.
It has.
Oh yeah.
But I think those are the most important things.
Partially retire, you know, that's very much in the picture for me is just kind of phasing out and continuing to do some things. And you know, the way we're able to work remotely, you know, as long as I'm not in a village where there's no Wi-Fi, which I suppose could happen depending on where we go visit.
Well, that's part of the consideration, too. Right? When you
maybe that's a plus.
If you're going to semi-retire early, then you probably want to have a place that has. Connectivity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's another generational change between Gen X and every however many generations there are after that.
Yeah, ask a 20-year-old what your most important thing is. They'll say connecting to the internet.
Yeah. And also, I guess, the concept of retirement. You know, when you had kind of the industrial age and, you know, the baby boomer generations, I mean, you worked, you know, your 30-plus years for one company, you retired, and you were done.
Yep.
That was
it. Take your pension. Right. And
nowadays, there's a lot of people that have no concept of retirement. I'm actually one of them. I can't even fathom not ever working. I don't want to work the way I work the rest of my life, but I can't imagine not doing something.
Right. Turning it into acquisitions or
whatever it may be. You know, it's just kind of a part of that. It's just staying active and using your brain and
being involved.
And I love the interaction. I mean,
absolutely. And it helps keep you healthy too. But that's what's changed is the technology. You know, maybe our parents are, I mean, where they worked, they had to physically be there to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then when they physically couldn't do it or didn't want to do it anymore, you retired. But there wasn't an option of sitting behind your computer and getting work done or on a phone or whatever. So that's opened up so much more and allows you to retire, not necessarily retire in the old fashioned sense, but semi-retire, still do something sometimes and make more because once you figured it out than you were at your brick and mortar job. And so it's just different. The world's changing that way.
Plus, you know, you got to be able to be in your English speaking tour guide wherever you're living.
Absolutely.
You mean you be the guide?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can see Eric doing some bar crawl tours.
Absolutely.
Through Rome?
Yeah, anywhere. Well, that leads to then, you know, usually our third segment's about eating, wining, and dining and type of thing. We talked about kind of the vibrancy and that cafe lifestyle. I mean, When you think about that, what kind of is important to you, Eric? You mentioned like growing food. I mentioned cafe and just high quality food. What do you guys really think about when you think about, you know, eating and drinking, living someplace else? What is kind of important to you?
Well, yeah, good fresh produce for me. Everybody's different, mm-hmm. you know. If I'm in Italy, I want to get the occasional good pizza, you know what I mean?
Right.
Not every day, but I want a good one.
Every other day.
Every other day, right. There you go. That's fine. Good products, I guess, things yeah. like that. Good quality healthy products that are, you know, like I said, farm to table is becoming much more prevalent these days and available, and it's probably better for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to throw any big companies under the bus, but let's just face it, it is. And I think this pandemic is going to, you know, make farm to table even more important. And you're going to see it grow more rapidly in this mm-hmm. in the U.S. But that's important to me. Things mm-hmm. as far as eating and having good choices, like fish. You want, you know, all the proteins. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. What about you, B?
I don't ever want to sit down in a chain restaurant ever again.
Right? Yeah,
I really don't. I like I've fallen in love with the mom and pop mm-hmm. restaurants. Yep. The, you know, the smaller cafe style. Places mm-hmm. to sit down and eat where you can eat indoors or outdoors depending on what's going on that day, you know, 30, 40 people, something along those lines, but it's certainly fresh, healthy, good variety, a number of choices, you know, in the town or city where you are. I think that's important. I think that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not everything, but you know, when I think about where I'd want to be and have what I'd want to have access to in retirement or semi-retirement, we have a little bit of that in our town of Shepherdstown here, which is really right. kind of cool. We're fortunate with that, but that's I think what I would be looking for.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jim?
What I picture, and I agree with all that you said. But what I really liked, if I was living someplace, and I've always liked going to these places when we're, you know, staying in a town for a few days or a week or whatever, are the local markets. The couple that come to mind, the one right off is the Mercado San Miguel Madrid, right off Plaza Mayor. And obviously you can go there for your fresh whatever, fresh produce, fresh food, fresh everything. But if you're not in the mood for cooking, and most Europeans, because they don't have big apartments, they don't have big refrigerators and all, they go daily there. So I kind of like that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Go, okay, what am I cooking tonight? Go pick out that. But at the same time, there's enough booths and shops in there. If you want to just get stuff that's already prepared, whether it's seafood or whatever, calamari. I mean, there's so many different things that you can actually sit there, and they've got little tables that you can eat at. That you can go around to different booths and get different little fresh things, and it's incredible. So just being able to walk to your local market and pick those kind of things out and either go home and cook it or you have your, not necessarily you're not eating a buffet, but you get your choice of a few things to get some different delicacies and taste would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then as far as the chain restaurants, I don't want to go to them either. But I want to be in these other countries eating this fresh stuff as much as possible so that when I come home, it's a delicacy to go to a McDonald's.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think that will ever be a delicacy.
It won't be a delicacy.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time those two words have been put in the same sentence.
I like being a first.
But I will say I do enjoy the occasional, you know, McDonald's cheeseburger.
I still don't.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it. I just want it to be unique or an Outback or whatever, just a chain restaurant that because I've eaten so good for so long that just going there and have somebody
right.
throwing down the slop would be a good thing.
I'm pretty sure we didn't get an advertiser by that one.
I wasn't expecting to.
Darn it. What about you, Mr. Price?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything you guys said as far as I want good quality food. And I also don't want to pay crazy amounts either. So that's why, Eric, you mentioned kind of cost. I mean, it is a consideration for me, I guess, where I'd want to stay because – if I can stay there sooner or move there sooner or able to access that location sooner because the overall location is less expensive, then that's big for me. And if I can be able to go out and visit 5 or 6 restaurants in a week because it is inexpensive, that's even better, you know. So, but quality, and I do like the mom and pop type of, I love restaurants that the menu is what it is today.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they don't even have it printed. They're just going to tell you what they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or Terry Hall. You remember him talking about walking into Porto? It's like, I don't even see the menu. Bring me whatever you want. Whatever you think is good. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
You know? Yeah, right. You know, what am I in the mood for today? You tell me.
Right, exactly. What's good today? You know, bring it. You know, those are just, and I will say, as one of our, we always talk about our love of Europe, and that's usually, those are some of the things that kind of come along with that, because they don't have, you know, some of the big supermarket,
right,
you know, mentalities around in all the places, and it's a lot smaller. And
can you imagine living in Greece where we lived and visiting our buddy every day? I would visit that guy every day.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is this the guy on your way out?
Yes. Yeah.
I would go see that guy every day.
That's an exact example of, yes, I think, what Jim, we were talking about. I want a place where I know I could go down, talk to somebody, and hang out. I don't care if another soul was in the building.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, he didn't either.
Tell our listeners the story. Just, you know, not the whole expanded version.
Oh, we talked about that a little
version,
before, but yeah.
Refresh my memory on this guy and what he made.
Oh, it's at the secondary port in Athens. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of the port.
I don't remember.
But, you know, he has just a little banana-shaped port in various shops, and Eric and I just happened to walk by there in the morning, and they were just opening up, and he was making
His fresh tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, it's fresh
with cucumbers and yogurt and garlic, and it was fresh. He was making it right there.
He was still in his shorts, flip flops, no shirt, yeah, just hanging out.
Just put his lamb on the spit to
the
cook.
Spit,
and it,
actually, the
fire. We ate some, so he had some.
We helped cook it.
Yeah, we helped cook it and cut it. We helped cut it.
Right. I feel bad for the customers afterwards.
Right. So yeah, we were his friend instantaneously. So,
were talking. Instant friends, yeah, right? And, you know, to the point where we had to leave because we thought we were catching our boat or our ride. And then, we went to go to check out and come back. And when we came back, he had put reserved on a table and put for Eric and Tony.
Yeah.
You're like, we've known the guy for 2 hours.
Right.
And he's like serving us fresh food and we're trying the stuff. I mean, it was just.
And it's happenings like that that make you go, no, I could retire here. Because, you know,
yeah,
just
well,
that's
from
the
what
actions
he did,
of that one
that's
guy.
Exactly what
yeah,
he did. Yeah.
Exactly.
He had owned several restaurants on several of the Greek islands and it had been really big. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, you know what? I'm kind of retiring. And that was his version of retirement. He's like, I get up in the morning. I come in here early. I get stuff going. He
leaves at noon.
Remember, he started drinking beer at 10?
His family kicks him out at noon because he gets to drinking too much.
Yep. And he's like, that's good. I hang out the afternoon and I go home.
That's a good life.
That's what I need somebody to tell me that, hey, you're drinking too much. You need to just move on. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Eric, we do.
Oh, shoot.
He didn't usually listen, though.
Yeah, right. You're not always around.
Access to street vendors.
That's
good.
Awesome.
Street vendors.
That's
kinda,
yeah,
be,
that food scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
that's big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so all of that is just really good. So,
I had a similar experience like that in Costa Rica, too, you know, where we went and had breakfast every morning. Sorry, these memories are coming back to me. But, you know, it makes you think, wow, I could retire here. These people,
yeah,
they really cater to you. They take care of you. They care about,
right,
you. And the food's farm to table fresh, and it's all grown there, eggs. And you're like, wow, this is great. You don't have to go to a grocery store. And, you know.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, we should. All right, so we talked about doing this. We're going to have a spattering of these segments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Episodes, yep, I guess you would call them, here over the next hour often.
Mm-hmm.
So for next time, I guess we all need to have a little bit of homework.
Mm.
How about we all come up with, based off of what we just talked about, some suggestions of locations of whether we should look to rent there, to own there, maybe both. Or maybe even do a little bit of multiple locations, you know. There's
sure
a theory behind it, you know, that type of thing. Because one of the things about owning is obviously you could sublet,
mm-hmm,
for part of the year. No different than you hear in the States. Sometimes people say, well, I own a second home, but I rent it out like a beach house.
Right.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
All that type of theory. And that's just kind of help even giving our listeners some ideas of how they can also do this. And we're going to really get into the costs if we go in and do a build or a buy.
Mm-hmm.
and just kind of get real with the numbers and let people know that they can do this if they want it.
Right.
Or not.
Or not.
Yeah, we may find out that it doesn't work too well, but, I think we'll find some that will.
And I would even suggest that if we've got listeners out there who have an interest, maybe pose some questions to us at our friends at Carry On @gmail.com and just send, hey, I'd like more information on the dollar houses, or I've been thinking about investing too. What have you thought about these and whatever the questions are, and just list them out there, and it'll help us make our thoughts more concise and then be able to share that feedback with you.
Or even locations too, if there's things. I mean, we've talked about some of them that are, I know, are on all of our lists, but I know I have several more that we mm-hmm. didn't talk about. So if you guys think if any of the listeners know of any place that they recommend or something they want us to kind of dig into and talk about, messages about that as well.
Or places that they recommend that we don't consider. Maybe
that's
they've
good too.
Maybe they've tried it. Maybe they've tried the dollar house purchase and they found out ahead of time. That would be good information mm-hmm. for
that
us to know.
That would be great information to share with everybody and not us do it.
Or if they've bought one and they've renovated it and they really want us to go and check it out,
mm-hmm.
let us know about that too. We'll go and stay there for them.
We'll stay there.
We'll write a story and tell people why they need to rent their place.
I like that as a suggestion.
We'll do a live podcast from there.
Man, that's a good idea. They can even go with us.
They can. They can buy
to stay in their own home.
I'm not sure this will work in the 200 square foot apartments in Italy, but for something else maybe.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you guys got before that? We got our homework.
We do.
And then we'll be back to a more of a regularly scheduled podcast, I guess, next week. But
that was kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun
to explore that.
We've been talking about it, off and on. I think it's come up in a few podcasts about where you mm-hmm. want to live or where you want to do this or possibly that. So
the more you talk about it, the more chance it becomes of happening.
It makes it real, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. So
that's the plan. So
awesome.
All right. Well, I guess until next week. Thanks, everybody. Again, remember to check us out on friendsthatcarryon.com and across all the social medias at friendsthatcarryon. And again, remember to subscribe any place you listen to and download your podcast. So thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Arrivederci.
Be sure to join the Friends next week for another great discussion. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. You can also find The Friends and other content at www.friendsatcarryon.com or check us out on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook by searching Friends at Carry On. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to carry on, friends.